Have you ever realized your anxiety wasn't predicting reality? Was reciting an old script? I've been thinking about that. About dating, desire, about the little hierarchies that we absorb without consent. Beauty, body, age, status, sexual capital. All the ways that we quietly let other people become judges in a courtroom we've built inside ourselves. And lately I've been asking, who gets to author my worth? I'm Paul Cram, actor, storyteller, and apparently a man collecting insights through questionable field research. I've been dating, well, or let's say studying. There was the professor, beautiful mind, tall, dangerously handsome, the kind of man who can make instability sound like poetry. And to his credit, he told me pretty early who he was. In so many words, I may not treat you well. Or more literally, sorry in advance, I'm only going to treat you bad. I'm probably going to let you down. I'm probably going to sleep around. So sorry in advance. And I'm trying to get better at hearing information and not treating it like a renovation project. Some people are not mysteries. They are disclosures. Like Maya Angelou said, when someone shows you who they are, believe them. Or in this instance, when the guy is telling you who he is, believe him. Then there's Mr. Pearls. Yes, that's his pseudonym, and no, it's not referring to anything more than a string of pearls around his neck. There was undeniable chemistry, real sweetness, some definite chaos. Chaos in communication that just ultimately didn't work for me. And I've been learning something there too. Chemistry is not compatibility. But then there was rugby. And rugby upended the script. I'm at the saloon with friends. Weekend, packed bar, body, energy, and in walks this man, built like he was assembled by a committee of like linebackers and hipsters, and he comes on strong. And to my credit, I didn't totally get swept up, but I leaned back a little bit, not to play games, but just to like observe, to give him some exits, to kind of make room for nuance. And every time he looped back, he kept finding me. He kept saying in one form or another, you. And yes, I was flattered. I'm not dead. He came home with me. We stumbled into bed. We were well past two drinks. There's laughter, there's chemistry, and let's just say it was less of a one-night stand and maybe more of a five-act play with sleep intermissions. And somewhere around 5 a.m, I woke up, and there is this giant man curled up beside me in my not very large bed. And I smiled. And my inner critic is also awake and starting to get loud. And suddenly I am spiraling a little bit. Wait, what's happening here? Oh, what, without the beer goggles, like, am I about to become a regrettable decision? And this hit an old bruise. Because years ago, I was literally cast as just that. I booked a Minnesota Department of Health campaign about drunken one-night stands people regret. My face above urinals in bathroom stalls across the state. I was quite literally the face of bad decisions. And sure, after that gig, I cashed the check and smiled. But there was an ouch in that booking too. And laying there with rugby, asleep beside me, like that old shame script started to come up again. Like, see, this is who you are. It's going to be you, a cautionary tale. Someone is going to wake up beside you and regret their beer-addled decisions. But here's what I'm noticing now. Old shame scripts keep auditioning for current roles. Some of those shame scripts are old, older than dating, older than adulthood, family old, religion old, the kind that whisper unlovability and call it truth. Those scripts have had a long run. I am trying to not keep casting them. So I did something very me. I brought in aspirin and Gatorade because apparently my erotic energy occasionally gives like bedside nurse. He chugs the Gatorade, takes some aspirin, rolls over, falls back asleep, facing away from me. And of course, my brain goes, rejection. Obviously, case closed. You know that thing where someone rolls over in bed and your brain writes like a 10-page breakup memoir before sunrise? I was treating the man like a Rorschach test. And this is where I learned something. Sometimes the gut is wise, and sometimes anxiety impersonates intuition. Like, these are not the same voice. And I am learning to interrogate my inner monologue because it can be harsh, learned, ancient, and not always true. Sometimes a man is just asleep, and sometimes your inner critic is awake too early. Morning comes. I slip out from the sheets, shower, put on Saturday clothes. I'm reading on the couch, trying genuinely to give him space, not force an ending, not force a meaning, making room for him to just leave cleanly if that's what he wants. About an hour later, I hear rustling from my bedroom, and mentally, I'm preparing him for him to like come out, slip on his shoes, politely leave or something like that. And out of my bedroom walks this 6'2", buck naked, burly man, morning light, no beer goggles, like morning honesty. Scratches his beard a moment, puts his arm up above the doorway, like the door jamb of my hallway. Looks me in the eye for a while. Long pause. Then he smiles. He walks over to the couch, leans over, kisses me on the neck, and says in my ear, "Would you come back to bed with me?" Listener, I did. And we stayed there all morning. And somewhere, an old public health poster quietly burst into flames. And I've thought about that moment a lot. Not because like a hot man wanted me in daylight, you know? I mean, although let's let that be affirming. But it's because I realize how often I have outsourced my worth, my self-regard, as though desire runs downhill in a hierarchy, as though beauty or muscles become a judge. And I'm really trying to unlearn that. Desire doesn't have to be hierarchical. I can be attracted to someone beautiful without turning him into like some sort of a verdict. And also, what about my gaze? I looked at him in daylight and I liked what I saw very much. And not just his body, his energy, his sweetness, his presence, his playful raunchiness that matched mine not once, not twice, not thrice, but buyback play there. And my choosing mattered too. That matters. That is agency. That is self-regard. And honestly, Therapy is helping me learn this. Support groups are helping me learn this. Life is helping. Reading books on attraction, sexuality, boundaries, and self-worth are helping. Moments like this are helping. Because rewiring a brain shaped by shame, I guess it takes repetition. Sometimes lived experience has to argue with the old script. And sometimes a naked rugby guy with a beard does the arguing, and it's God bless. So maybe this episode is not about dating. Maybe it's about this. Who gets to author my worth? Fear? Old shame? The marketplace of desirability? Or me? And I'm trying, maybe for the first time, to really live from this place. I'm still learning. I'm still dating. I'm still occasionally drawn to men with brooding eyes and questionable emotional. Yeah. I trust myself more now. And I think that that's sexy, frankly. And maybe healing is partly this. Rejecting old scripts that audition and just not giving them the part. If this resonates, if you've ever mistaken anxiety for intuition, or an old shame story is trying to narrate a new experience for you, drop a like, comment, share with me. I don't know. Do all the things. Yeah. Do all the things. There's more weirdness ahead, obviously. So until next time, trust your gut, cross-examine your inner narrator. And remember, sometimes a man is just asleep. Smooches.